Today's daf in Masechet Erevin is daf Mem Beis. We're holding on daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, and we're up to Omer of Papa, and you need to concentrate, because there's some absolutely stunning, beautiful, clear-cut logic issues, but you need to really pay attention. Okay, so the question tonight is, Omer of Papa, in order to understand this, let me just mention to you some of the issues that we need to consider. If peirot go out of the tchum, remember that each thing has its tchum, the tchum of the baalim, or if you hold a peres hefker or keneh, that's also, they would have a tchum. Then the question would be this. If people are living in that tchum where the peirot come, remember, they're not allowed to eat peros that were yatsu chutz v'tchumam for the purpose of bringing to Yisrael. That was one problem. That would be achila. Obviously, you wouldn't be allowed to carry them anywhere because they lost their tchum, and you cannot carry chafetzim outside of a tchum anyway. So even on yontiv, where carrying is permissible, you wouldn't be allowed to carry those peros. On Shabbos, where anyway carrying is not permissible, unless, of course, they happen to be taken out of the tchum into an area where carrying is okay, like, you know, a city with an Erev or whatever. But then there would still be a question of whether they would be allowed to be eaten. So no matter how you look at it, there's going to be a problem, either on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Now, there's two things to take into consideration, two factors. One is how. Were they taken out b'mezid, or were they taken out b'shogeg? And the other question is, where? Where are they currently? Are they currently chutz l'tchum, or are they currently outside of the tchum? Now, the combination of those factors would be, were they taken out of the tchum on purpose? Were they taken out of the tchum b'shogeg? Are they currently back in the tchum? Were they brought back into the tchum on purpose, b'iser, or were they brought back into the tchum b'shogeg? So then that would mean we have all of those different ways of understanding the cases. Because of that, we're going to have some kind of complications in defining precisely who is saying what in terms of the cases. So remember that those are the elements. Rav Papa wants to say a fascinating din, and that is that in the same way that if Goyim will take you out of your tchum, or if Goyim will deposit you back in your tchum, it's considered to be outside of your hands. These poor peirot are always victims of circumstances, because as hard as they tried to fight you in taking them out of the tchum, they weren't able to stop you. And as hard as they tried to fight whoever was dragging them back into the tchum, they never managed to stop. So because of that, Rav Papa says, we always view peirot as victims of circumstances. And therefore, it doesn't matter, the way I see it, if they were yotze to chutz tchum, as long as they're currently back in the tchum, even though the person who brought them back in the tchum did it wrongly, why should they lose out? If after all, this beautiful apple is sitting there waiting for somebody to eat it and to appreciate it, and now nobody's going to be able to eat it. It's not the poor apple's fault that somebody was so cruel and took it out of the tchum and brought it back in. So therefore, they are always anusim. They're victims of tchum rape. And therefore, they should not be penalized, Dinah's Rav Papa. So therefore, if they're back in town where they left, lo yivsido et mikomam, no matter how it is that they were taken out, why? My time, anusim ninu. They are victims. Fascinating way to look at it. In other words, in terms of assigning the peiros a tchum, we maybe will give them the tchum of their owner. But in terms of their being defined by what the person did in order to get them there, that's, we see them as victims. This could be Nogea the Machlokas, at least conceptually. It could be the Nogea the Machlokas of whether Peros Hefker have a tchum at all. You can see that this may be peripherally related. Anyway, so Rabbi Yosef Bar Shemaya asks Rav Papa. We have a brisa that says that Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omrim, that Peirot that went out of the tchum are always usur unless they were brought back to their place, b'shogeg. Uh-oh. Now, this is definitely not like Rav Papa. I mean, Rav Papa said, the only time that we could eat them over here is if they were brought back into the tchum, but even if it's b'mezid. Okay, so now this is very clearly saying that in the Braisa, we have the shitas of Tutanoim that say that if they were taken out of the tchum and they were brought back in b'mezid la'olam asurim, unless it's shogeg, but b'mezid lo, which clearly says that Rav Papa is wrong. Says the Gemara, if we look carefully into this braita, we shall see that we're talking about a machlokes tanoim. And not everybody holds this. And in fact, there's clearly a sheet of tanoim that backs Rav Papa 100%. But in order to prove that, we're going to do a little bit of mental gymnastics first. Because the braita that we bring does not seem on the surface to be directly related to the question. Let's take a look at the braita, the Tanya. Peirot sheyatzu tchutz l'tchum, b'shogeg ye'achlu, b'meizid lo ye'achlu. Now you see what the problem is over here, because the braita doesn't say anything about coming back in. The braita seems to be discussing what the din is of the peirot that were taken out of the tchum, whether they were brought back in or not, right? And what it's saying is, what it seems to be saying is, that if they were taken out and are currently out, so that's one of the two factors, where are they currently? It seems to be saying if they're currently out of the tchum, then only if they were brought here b'shogeg, they can be eaten, but b'mezid, they cannot be eaten. That's what it seems to be saying. And Rabbi Nechemiah says, well, it depends. Only if they were brought back in can they be eaten. But if they weren't brought back in, they cannot be eaten. Now, let me ask you something. Maybe on the surface, you'll say, okay, so that's Rav Papa. I mean, Rav Papa said if they were brought back in, I don't give a hang how they were brought back in, it would still be kosher. Wrong. Because we cannot explain Rabbi Nechemiah as saying if they were brought back in b'mezid, which is what Rav Papa would be saying. So I ask you, work it out. When we say that they came back in, okay, and Rabbi Nechemiah says it's mutter, what do you mean by that? Do you mean that even if it was brought back in b'mezid, it would be mutter? Rabbi Nechemiah says himself in that very same braita, which we quoted a moment ago, Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Eliezer, Ben Yaakov, Omrim, La'olam Asurim, and we made a diak. We said, you see, that was the original diak, not like Rav Papa, correct? So then that means that if they came in, b'mezid, even though they're back inside, so let's call that factor one. Where are they currently? So factor one is okay, but factor two, how did it happen, is not okay, because it was done b'mezid, right? So Rabbi Nechemiah is saying, if factor one is okay and factor two is not okay, forget it, all right? So they would have to be brought back in b'shogeg. So then that means that he does not agree with Rav Papa. So therefore, what are we talking about? When we're talking about b'mekomam ye'achelu, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, what it means is b'mekoman, meaning it was brought in b'shogeg, and factors one and two are both lakula. It's in its correct place currently, and it was brought into its correct place currently through no act of Isser. It was done b'shogeg, right? Okay. So then, the only way, now, we have to take this on faith for a moment, because we'll see immediately why it doesn't strike us as being essential, but let's just take it on faith. The only way that we could possibly understand the braita then would be to put in the following words. We would say chisurim echasra. And the way to read the braita is like this. First, we make the general statement. Peirot sheyatzu chutz l'tchum, b'shogeg ye'achlu, b'mezid lo ye'achlu. Now, we pointed out initially that this has nothing to do with our question, because the statement on its face is not talking about where they brought back in. It's just talking about where they are currently, factor two, they are current, I'm sorry, we call that factor one. Factor one, they are currently in the wrong place. They are outside. And the question over here is, even though they're in the wrong place, it seems to be saying, as long as they got their b'shogeg, that doesn't bother me. However, that's not the way we're going to explain the braita. We are going to put in the following words to change it. And we're going to say, b'meh devarim amurim, when is this true that we cannot eat them b'mezid? That is only if they are currently in the wrong place, that factor one is no good and factor two is no good. They're in the wrong place, and they were brought there b'mezid. But if they would be brought back into their place, so that's b'mekoman, and their currently factor one is good, then even if was brought back in b'mezid, which is factor two, that doesn't matter. As long as one of the two factors is okay, we will accept that, and they can be eaten. And if that is the explanation, then that's exactly what Rav Papa said. Rav Papa said, as long as they're back where they belong, factor one is good. I don't care if factor two is not good. It's fine, even if they were brought in b'mezid. And then comes along Rabbi Nechemia and says, no, I disagree. Even if factor one is good, it's only if they were brought back in b'shogeg, and factor two is also good, but otherwise you cannot eat it based on just one of the two factors, right? Says the Gemara, I don't understand. I mean, you know, you're trying to make things work out for Rav Papa, which I'm sure is very laudable if you happen to like beer. But if you are just like saying that this is the way the Braita works out, I don't see why anything in the Braita forces you to say that. I mean, why doesn't the Braita just mean exactly what it says? Namely, that the way to understand the Braita is to say that we're talking about if it were in the place, nobody is matirit b'meset. That's certainly one way to understand the Braita, the b'pashtus. They came out and they're back in. For sure, if a meset was done, you cannot eat it. Take the Braita on its face value. We were never talked about being brought in. The Tanna Kamma was talking about where they are currently outside. And what it's saying is that if it was brought outside b'shogeg, and it was shalom b'mekomam, then we argue. Because we're going to be more machmir if somebody did something b'isser than on that factor than where it happens to be. Now that's a reasonable interpretation of Braita. You don't need to stick in any other words. And everything works out beautifully, except for poor Rav Papa. It doesn't work out at all. Because Rav Papa claimed that even if you do it b'mezid, it's fine. As long as they're back where they belong. I don't understand what right you had to explain it. And it could be that the machlokas is only where it's outside, so factor one is no good, but factor two is good because it was b'shogeg. So the Tanna Kamma is saying, if it went out b'shogeg, it's mutter even if it's not in the right place. And Rabbi Nechemia is saying, no. Even if it's b'shogeg, only if it was brought back in. You need both factors in this case to make it all right. But the way you explained it, there were two separate machlokas in. That's the way you made it worked out, by putting in the extra chesuri mechasra, right? Because the Tanna Kamma is matir shelo b'mekomam b'shogeg, and b'mekomam afilo b'mezid. So that means, according to the Tanna Kamma, either one of two factors would have been sufficient to be matirit, where Rabbi Nechemia is only matir where both factors are good. It's back b'mekoman, and it's b'shogeg. So that's an extreme, from one extreme to the other, machlokas. That's how you explained it, in order to make it work out like Rav Papa. But I'm questioning your rights to do that. Says the Gemara, it's because you're not reading carefully. That's why you think you can get away with that. There's no way to explain it like that at all. Because, look, let's see, what do you want to say? You want to say, we're talking about b'shogeg shelo b'mekoma plige. The Tanna Kamma is saying b'shogeg, it's mutter, even if it's in the wrong place. Rabbi Nechemia says, no, it needs to be, even if it's b'shogeg, it still has to be in its place. And I feel the placement is the most important thing, right? That's what you're saying. But that everybody agrees, if the mezid is there, doesn't matter. That's usher, for sure. Impossible. Because read the language of the Seifa. Rabbi Nechemia v'Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. La'olam asurin ad sheyachzeru l'mekomam shogegin. Right? You have to bring them back b'shogeg. Which is mashma shogeg and only shogeg. But b'mezid not. Now why the heck did they mention shogeg? Obviously shogeg. You said the given is b'mezid no matter what. B'mezid, whether it's b'mekomam, shelo b'mekomam, nobody is matir. So what are they talking about b'shogeg? No, nobody ever even thought the possibility that it could be b'mezid, according to you. So here they're just blabbing. All they needed to say was, no, it's got to be back in the place, right? Because that's what they're arguing about. Is it okay to be out of the place, or must it be back in the place? The minute they throw in the word shogeg, then you need to say, uh-oh, apparently they're arguing also about shogeg and mezid. Exactly. So what do you see? That there is a machlokas about both factors. Ha-ha. Which proves absolutely that the Tanna Kamma was going properly according to Rav Papa. And Rav Papa says, as long as one factor is good, the other factor doesn't have to be good. And that is brought out by that one word. So we have beautiful, beautiful linear algebra here and beautiful mathematical clarity about the presentation, fantastic density of information, wonderful. We could set this up exactly with all four factors and we see what the Breite is saying. Okay, so that makes it very, very clear. And therefore, let's just see that inside. Since they mentioned Shogeg, B'mezid lo michlal, that the Tanakhama holds that B'mezid, it would also be good. Okay, so that ends our first foray into the sugya. Now we get into something even more fabulous. I mean, this is truly exciting. So you'll recall that we had the question of something being called a Rishus HaYochid vis-a-vis the din of the Tchum, Eruv. But not a Rishus HaYochid vis-a-vis the din of Tiltol, right? And that was the case, remember, the famous case of Rava, where he wanted to be Mechadesh, that a person in a city makes no difference, because the whole thing is Kamalia Damia, Machlokas, whether it has to be a walled city or any city, or a person's own Arba Amas is Kaman Damalia Damia, and therefore, if you're within those four amas of your Eruv, doesn't matter if your Eruv's up in a tree and you're on the ground, it's all one gigantic Rishon. Of course, Chas V'Sholem that you should carry, that would be a din in Shabbos, not in Erevin. The din for Shabbos and carrying is totally different. And over there, it would be considered to be a Rishos HaRabim, and you'd be over on a D'Oraisa and so on and so forth. We have a mirror image, a beautiful mirror image of that halacha, and finally come to understand the concerns that we have about the interrelationship of these changing definitions from Shabbos and Erevin when they come and contradict each other and the confusion that might be engendered thereby. So we have at last the actual climax of that particular element of the sugya. So here is the deal. Says Reb Nachman Armashmu, a guy is walking along on Shabbos. The first thing is, you should know that like all of the inyanim, which modern people have forgotten, all of the inyanim of halacha are not strictly scientifically defined. In other words, for you to look at a stopwatch to decide when the Netzach Chama is based on complex NASA observations of the exact moment of those number of degrees beneath the horizon is a bit ridiculous because that information is not available to people. And because of that, the dinim of being davening mates, let's say, is of course a spread that would be available to a normal person. The same thing was true about the value of pi. The same thing was true about the square root of 2. All of these things are given as someone without instrumentation, without a calculator, and without massive types of mathematical abilities is able to negotiate the Torah in terms of his daily life. The same thing is true about the Tchum. The Tchum does not require a GPS to be defined. The Tchum is defined by how it is that it makes itself apparent to you. So therefore, says Shmuel, a person who's walking on Shabbos and he doesn't have a GPS with him, all that he needs to do is count 2,000 standard steps, because a standard step is an amma. And therefore, when he gets to the 2,000, he knows that's the Tchum. He does not have to measure his own step with a pedometer beforehand or anything like that. So he can rely on his own steps being a common enough step. Okay. Now, furthermore, said Shmuel, as Rav Nachman reports it, a guy who actually made an Erev, and he was sitting there with the Erev, he's in the middle of this broad valley, what's the din? He can carry 2,000 amos in all directions, right? Because he had a Mokam Shvis, he's not Chutz HaTrum, that is his Trum. Now, a fascinating thing happens. Normally, obviously, if he's in the middle of a valley, the valley had a din of a Carmelite, and if he wanted to walk, he was perfectly okay taking a walk, but he couldn't carry anything with him on his walk, right? Because he would be carrying Arba Amos in a Carmelite. Okay. Now, it turns out that this guy's nice, calm, and placid Erev was smack bang in the middle of a construction zone that was aimed to be a new shopping center. And there, all of a sudden, on Shabbos, a bunch of bulldozers show up, surround the entire Bika by this big fence in which they're now going to be building these housing developments. Oh, the guy's going nuts. The noise is awful. But meanwhile, he is surrounded by a mechitza. Now, all of a sudden, what previously was a Carmelite has become a Rishon Sayochid. So now his Shabbos din starts to be similar to his Erev din. Before his Erev din, he views all of this as his place, but not a place to carry. Now it's both his place and a place to carry. So what happens is that according to Shmuel, he is allowed to walk up to only 2,000 amos in any direction, but he can carry anywhere he wants as long as he doesn't walk there. How does he do that? Well, he could throw. I mean, let's say he's got a little model airplane or something, you know, and he wants to throw it out, you know, and there's somebody on the other side, and he's got a kid over there, so he can throw the airplane out. Why? Because it's Rosh HaYachid. As long as it wasn't stuck in his tum, it was somebody else's airplane, right? So there would be no problem in traveling, throwing something outside of the tum. Rav Huna says, bad news, baby. He can walk 2,000 amas, absolutely. He can't even carry an inch out of his 4 amas. What? Why is that? Well, he can be carry around, yes, but he can't carry it. Well, what do you mean he can't carry? Why not? Why can't he carry in the whole thing? I don't understand. Can he carry even outside of where he's going to walk? I mean, wasn't Reb Nachman right in saying he could throw it? No, absolutely not. Because if he throws it, you know what happens when you throw your model airplane. You always run after it to catch it. But then he's going to go outside of his tum, right? I dare you to see the guy throwing the airplane and then not run to catch it. Okay, so obviously we have to worry. Shemi yimashech achar cheftso. Okay, fine. So I understand he can't throw it outside of the 2,000 amas, but why can't he carry within his 2,000 amas? How the heck do you get that he's only allowed to carry in 4 amas? There's a beautiful mechitza all around him. It's perfectly kosher for Shabbos. What happened? This is a killer. What happened is, says Rav Huna, that the moment that I ushered him to throw his model airplane into the area that was surrounded by the mechitzas, the area that is his is now completely porutz into an area that is usher. So then that means that his problem, because of Erevin, because I had to make a gezerah for the Erevin, has redefined the nature of his mechitzas for Shabbos. And now, this is the exact opposite, it's the mirror image of the case we had before, that because since vis-a-vis Erev and Tchum, it's a Mokum Usser, so therefore it now becomes a Mokum Usser for Shabbos because it's Porutz into this place. Is that crazy? Okay, so this is like, it's all extremely consistent. So now, you're telling me he should be Metalto, at least within the area? No. Mishum Dahavi Kemechitza Shenifritza Limlo'a Lemakom Asurla. It's as if there was a fence that was around it, and it got busted, and now it's completely open into Rosh HaRabim. So over here, not Rosh HaRabim, obviously. The area that was surrounded by the mechitza for him was only the place that he was allowed to, and he couldn't throw it out because of the gezerah. But once that's true, the area that's outside of that virtual mechitza is a makom aser. But now that mechitza has been busted open into a makom aser, right? Come on, guys, this is gorgeous. How come nobody's dancing here? What's going on? The only one with a smile is Gavi. Oh, there we go. Bruce is at it. Okay, hello. Excellent. Okay, so this is wonderful, right? Chia Barav says, actually, you can walk for 2,000 amas, and you can carry for 2,000 amas only. Hey, wait a minute. Chia Barav, I mean, that's not like anybody. You're not following Reb Nachman, who says you could throw even outside of your 2,000 amas. You're not consistent with Rav Huna, who says that if you can't throw, which you seem to be agreeing to, then you're not allowed to carry at all, because it's going to be a mokum, a mechitza that was porutz into a mokum that's osurla. No, you misquoted him. Ema, obviously, Chia Barav had only said you could be metalto only in your 4 amas. What do you mean? That's what Ravuna said. So why does he doesn't have a separate opinion. So why are we bringing him as if he's arguing? No, made a mistake. It should have said, V'chein Amar Chibara. He wasn't arguing. He was consistent with Ravuna. Says Rav Nachman to Ravuna, listen, baby, don't argue with me, okay? I'm quoting you, Shmuel, and don't think you know better because there's a braita that says exactly what I say. Okay, listen to this braita, the Tanya. If a guy is walking along and he's measuring his 2,000 amas, and he finds that his tchum ends smack bang in the middle of another city. Now, remember that the din is that an entire city is considered to be only the equivalent of arba amas, but that's only on condition that it is subsumed within the tchum. So let's first measure the 2,000 amas. If the 2,000 amas include that city only counts for 4 amas and continue measuring. But if it ends in the middle of the city, then that's where you can carry to and not an inch further. Okay, so in this case, his 2,000 amos ended smack bang in the middle of town. The din over here is he's allowed to carry in this entire city. Obviously, he can only carry if he doesn't walk there, because and obviously we're talking about a city that has an Erev and so on and so forth, where there's no problems with the Yisr Shabbos. But if he's in that city, he can carry anywhere in that city as long as he doesn't go there with his feet. I understand. So how can he carry if he doesn't go there in his feet? Throwing, dum-dum, throwing. If you throw it, so you're carrying anywhere in the city, so we're back to his model airplane. So, says Rav Nachman, you see, Shmuel is 100% right, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. What do you mean you can carry? The only way you could carry if you can't walk there is by throwing your model airplane. So, b'may mitaltel, I mean, the only explanation is through throwing it, right? So, Ravuna, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Says Ravuna, no. There are other ways of carrying besides model airplanes. There is hauling something towards you instead of throwing something away from you. I mean, obviously, if you're throwing something away from you, like your model airplane, the likelihood is that I'm correct and that you would end up following it out of your tchum, and because of that, we would have a gezeira. If you're trying to pull something towards you, it would be ridiculous for you to walk out of the tchum to get it if the entire purpose is to get it to you, and you're pulling it right now into your tchum. So there's the difference. Is your aim out or is your aim in? If your aim is in, I'm not good, so that you're going to be Mimshach Acharav. And if your aim is out, I am. No, that's what it means. It means lo, it means ayadei mishicha. Omer Ravuna, okay. Actually, says Ravuna, if you are measuring your tchum and you end up in the middle of a yard somewhere that is completely surrounded by the walls of the yard. Now, this sounds like the previous case of the Bika, right? And what's amazing is that it isn't. Now, here's the deal. Says Ravuna, in this case, all you get is half of the yard where your 2,000 amas finished. So, well, obviously, pshit, I mean, that's always the rule. If a place is not subsumed within the tchum, then you only get up to the point where the tchum ends. I don't understand. That's a Mishnah later. So what's the Chiddush? No, okay, I'm sorry. We said that wrong. What I should have said was that if it ends in the middle of the chutzer, you still get half of the chutzer. Yeah, it's also obvious. Of course I get half of the chutzer. Why wouldn't I get half of the chutzer? Now, the meaning here, according to Tosfos, and according to the other Girsa in Rashi, is Mahu Detema, I mean here to say that you can carry in half of the chutzer. Not just that you can walk half of the chutzer. And I certainly would have thought that you can't do that because we've got exactly the problem that we had before, don't we? I mean, it's like the case where they built the shopping center over Shabbos. So, maybe you will end up being Nimshach Acharav. Or maybe you will carry over the whole thing. Kamashmal and the Kiddush is that you do not have that concern. So there's a simple way of learning this, and there's the brilliant way of learning it. The simple way of learning it is that we never talked about Litiltule. The word Litiltule did not appear. It's a different girsa. And instead it said lahalech bekula. So you might be afraid. We never talked about carrying. And the issue is that maybe you might have thought that since you're right in the middle of a yard and you see the mechitzas right in front of you, you would think the guy for sure is going to lose track of the fact that the yard, which continues another four amas further, is not for him. And he can only stop before. I mean, it's weird. In a city, okay, but I mean, in a yard? Gamash Malon, we're not afraid of that. That's the Balabatisha way of learning. Now, the brilliant way of learning is really stunning. The brilliant way of learning is the other girsa, which is brought here as Rashi Zochi Garcina, but the Marshal claims it was written by somebody else. But it's definitely the way Tosfos understands it. And that is the girsa that we have. Litil Tule. And the Chiddush is that according to Rav Huna, even though Rav Huna said that the case of the Bika, that you cannot, because of the Gezerah, you cannot fly your model airplane, and therefore the whole thing becomes usur for carrying, which was a brilliant idea, that it's considered to be porutz to a makom that is usur on a personal level. I mean, it's really weird. We never had such an idea, right? Before, in other words, in terms of the way we understood the dinim of Shabbos, the concept of your personal space, to define it as a makom shasur, that's crazy. We never had a thing like that. This is the first time that we've had a direct interaction between the elements of where your rishus is vis-a-vis your tchum and how that would define a rishus in terms of tiltul on Shabbos, carrying on Shabbos. Whoa! The exact opposite of the case that we had earlier, according to Rava, where we view your own arba amas as sort of a virtual rishus hayochid, right? Now, so by the same token, it looks as if that should be the case over here. If I landed up in the middle of a chatzar, and now half of the chatzar is aser for me, so then even though the chatzar is all very nicely defined with its mechitzas, but, I mean, vis-a-vis me, personally, this is a makom that is porutz to a makom that's aser, because I'm not allowed to fly my plane there. That's what she said. So now how come I'm allowed to carry at all? So therefore it would be a big chiddush to say I'm allowed to carry, but indeed what would it mean? Why would I be allowed to carry? So here Rashi explains beautifully. The difference is very simple and so subtle and so sweet. When you were talking about the valley that was surrounded for the shopping center, I shouldn't say shopping center because it really had to be a housing development because it needed to be built for Dior, because otherwise it wouldn't have been matir, an entire beak. Okay, so cut the shopping center, housing development. Okay, so now what happened over there was these mechitzas never functioned as mechitzas before Shabbos, right? So the only thing that made them tenable in terms of mechitzas for Shabbos was the fact that they were providing for me for tiltul. But they only provided for me for tiltul within the 2,000 amos of my tchum because Rav Huna's gezerah. So therefore, the area that was surrounded by these mechitzas during Shabbos outside of that remains a mokum of Isser because it was never defined as a mokum of Eter. Masha Enkein, where we have the chutzer, says Rashi, the chutzer is a chutzer with its own mechitzas, nothing to do with you. Why should your personal question and problems have anything to do with redefining a pre-existing chutzer that was defined as a rishus hayochid and so on and so forth? You can't have a personal idea of porot slobakam sha'asur. It's only because over here the mechitzas were created for you personally. That's the point. And therefore, the place of the interaction of the Erevin and the Shabbos is here and only here. And that's good for what Rav Huna was coming to be mechadesh by saying the case of the chutzer versus the case of the bika. Oh, I'm telling you, it's so delicious, you can literally taste it. Amazing. Okay. Says Rav Nachman, by the way, okay, before we get into this, there's no way to understand the Gemara unless we understand a concept about gezeiros. Now, if you consider the strange gezeira, can't fly a model airplane because maybe you'll follow the model airplane. I mean, come on, like, who made that gezeira exactly? No flying model airplanes in the event that you land up in the middle of a space where you're allowed to walk, but you can't fly an airplane. Come on. I mean, the Rabbana don't make gezeiras like that. I mean, like, what's the standardized gezeira that we're making, right? So, I mean, we need to understand that what we're talking about over here, and this is the way that the whole sugya will develop, as you'll see, what we're talking about over here is a overall gezeira that concerns us about the interaction of the dinim of Rishuyos as defined for Shabbat and the dinim of Rishuyos as defined for Erevin. There are too many contradictions for a normal brain to handle. And therefore, we are concerned that the moment that we're telling you you're allowed to walk there, if you're also allowed to carry there, and you're allowed to throw, then obviously, like, what? I mean, so it is Rishus HaYachid, so in other words, it's all my Rishus. No, it's Rishus HaYachid, but it's not your Rishus. Not my Rishus. Okay. So I can't throw there? No, you can throw there. But so therefore, we make this Gezerah, right? So in other words, wherever we end up with that problem, we have a standard Gezerah. Avoid those types of interactions where the subtleties are too much for people to be expected to understand what they're up against. Now, we often have that in the Gemara because the Gemara will say, and why aren't we Gezer? What do you mean, why aren't we Gezer? Who made the Gezer? You can't come around and say, why aren't we Gezer? I mean, you're telling me, who exactly are you talking to? Who is they? Why does it say, let's be Gezer? What do you mean, let's be Gezer? You intend to make a Bezdin now and you're going to give the whole deal and give it a year and see if it catches on and come off it. So in other words, there is a concept of Gezeris that are there that are already in place and they cover, let's say, 30 or 40 different cases, and they ought to be extended to include a case like this. Fine. It's not an extension. It's just another example of the same type of confusion. So therefore, says Rav Nachman, remarkably, this din of Rav Huna, where Rav Huna himself, remember, already made a distinction between dragging towards you and throwing model airplanes. I mean, I understand. Are you going to call it a Rishus HaYachid? You're not going to call it a Rishus. You can't. How do you do that? So in other words, the question of the Gezerah of that you're going to be Nimshach Acharav is literally dependent on the circumstances, correct? Now, if that's the case, Tainas Reb Nachman, imagine a case like this. Your Tchum ends exactly at the edge of a house that just suffered a tornado. And what happened is that the entire outside wall of the house was ripped out, but the roof survives. Rather strange situation, but what can you say? And your tchum ends exactly at that point. Now, that point is open into the house. You should know, Rav Huna's moted to me, that in that case, if kolta midato al tzvat tikra, he agrees that you could fly your model plane into the house, even though it's outside of your alpayim amos. Why is that? Because psychologically, it's easy for him to realize that he's now going into a different rishus, because he sees that roof is still there, right above him. And even though he says, oh no, there goes my plane right outside of my tchum, no, come back. And he wants to run after it, but he sees the roof right there, which reminds him that this is a different rishus. So if we don't really have to worry about it, we don't worry about it. And in that case, my time ahova tikrat habayit chovetet. See that roof? It keeps hitting him on the head every time he comes there, obviously virtually, but it hits him on the head so that he will remember. Omer Vuna Bereder of Nasan, I think that this whole question about whether we make this kind of gezerah is actually a machlokas tanoim. And I'll tell you why I think that. Because, you know, look at our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if the goyim took him to a different town and they deposit him in some kind of animal enclosure, right? So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah say, okay, if you're in an enclosure and you were put there la'on secha, you're allowed to view that entire enclosure as one arba amos. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva say, no. You have to stay in your arba amos. Now, what do you think that machlokas is based on? I'll tell you what I think. I think that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, who say you're allowed to walk the whole thing, that's because they say people are not going to get confused if we allow them to walk in an enclosed area. They're not going to think that, therefore, if they were deposited in an open area, that they also can walk 2,000 amos. They're not going to think that, because they'll be smart enough to realize the difference between having mechitzas around them and not having mechitzas around them. So we're not going to be gozer hiloch dir v'sahar otu hiloch bibik'a. All right. Now, if they did not find that to be a worthwhile gezerah, so what does that tell you? It tells you that they don't really have the concern of the confusion of the concept of mechitzas for Shabbos and the implications of those mechitzas for the dinim of Erevin. And people who are semi-sophisticated, who will say, well, what's the difference? There's mechitzas and the dir v'sahar. That's only vis-a-vis Shabbos, but I'm a Talmud Chacham, and I know that that doesn't apply to Erevin. So if I'm allowed to walk as far as I want, I can do the same thing in a bika. No. Not concerned with that. Okay, so then that means that the attitude of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah about this question of making these kinds of gezeiros is very makel. And I'm assuming if that's the case, if they're not going to be gezer, the hiluch of a dir v'sahar, because of the chashash of a hiluch babika, so mid'hiluch otu hiluch lo gazer, then they probably would not be gezer tiltul otu hiluch either. And they're not going to be afraid to let you fly your airplane and think that a guy is going to think, oh my gosh, look at this, I'm allowed to fly an airplane, which means that this is considered to be Rishus HaYachid, and therefore I should be able to walk it. Nah, I should be able to walk it. Walking is an Erevin issue. This is a Shabbos issue, and people are able to understand the difference between them. We're not going to be guys or such a thing. That's what I think. And Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, where they claim, no, we can't allow that. It can only walk four amos. You know why? Because they're afraid to give him the whole thing, because they're going to be geyser for a person not to walk a dir v'sahar because otu hiluch and a bika, and he's going to end up walking in the bika. So if they're not geyser hiluch otu hiluch, then they're not going to be geyser tiltul otu, if there are geyser hiluch otu hiluch, then they are going to be geyser hiluch otu Tiltul otu hiluch will also be geyser. So it's apparently a machlokas tanoim. Says the Gemara, I mean, that's a pretty big leap that you're making over here, because it's easy for me to define this very, very differently. I mean, come on. What are you making like such a general kind of statement? I mean, they're totally different things. It's certainly possible that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah do not worry about a person confusing area A with area B. What's in this thing? Why would somebody confuse an open valley with a closed enclosure or corral? Does that make sense? So they say there's no, people don't get mistaken about such a thing, but they could certainly become mistaken about the concept of whether something is allowed for them to carry in by Zrika of their battle airplane and walking. I mean, that's like very sophisticated. So maybe they would be gozer in that case. You can't say compare all of the gezeres to each other. So tiltu otu hiluch, where it's all the same area, it's all in one place. I mean, this is just 1 foot further than this place. It looks like the same area. Maybe they would be gozer. And also, your way that you explain Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva. Oh, it's a tremendous leap. What? It's because of a gezeira. How do you know it's because of a gezeira? Maybe it's because it's usher. Maybe because they say, you know what? This idea of a place being considered to be arba amos. Who said that that din applies in the middle of Shabbos? Maybe the din that an entire place is given a halacha of arba amos is only if that was your makom hashviza for Shabbos. I mean, that's a very reasonable kind of thing, no? That the dinim of Erevin have to be consistent with Erevin. Were you Shaives there? That's the dinim of Erevin. So then if you were Shaives there, that's your mechitzas. What, they happen to be mechitzas for Shabbos? What does Shabbos have to do with Erevin? Right? So that would be on the contrary. So they would be saying the exact opposite of what you're saying. They're saying that there's bechlal no mechitzas here if you weren't Shaivis in the Avram mechitzas. Over there, they would never say such a thing. Says Rav, the halacha is like Rav Gamliel when it comes to all three cases of the Mishnah. What are the three cases of the Mishnah? The deer, the sahar, and the case of the boat. In all those cases, a boat is also an enclosure, and you can be mahalach as kulan, even though you are outside of your tchum, it's all considered to be one place. Where Shmuel says no. Halacha, yes, is definitely like Rabbi Gamliel. You can walk anywhere you want in the boat, but you cannot walk anywhere that you want in the enclosure. Wait, so in other words, we're all agreed that the halacha is definitely like Rabbi Gamliel with boats? What's the difference between a boat and a different type of enclosure? I don't understand. Omar Rabbah, well, it's very simple, isn't it? You got on the boat before Shabbos. Huh? And I just explained to you that mechitzas that are defined before Shabbos as your makom shvisa, they work for you on Shabbos. But that doesn't mean that we're going to paskin like Rebbe Gamliel, that if you came on Shabbos into an area that happens to have mechitzas, that we give you the entire area. That's an entirely different can of worms over here you're opening. Absolutely not. You weren't there before. So Lagabe, that's for, we hold like Rebbe Akiva. That makes sense. And therefore, it's okay to paskin like Rebbe Gamliel Besvina and still hold of the svar that you need to be shayves in the mechitzas. That's the difference. Rabbi Zera says, nah, that's not a creative solution. Let me give you a really creative solution, okay? A brilliant solution. The boat is moving. And since the boat is moving relative to the tchum on the surface of the earth, you will always be taken out of your tchum. The moment you're taken out of your tchum, you have four amas, okay? Keep walking. But by the time you get to the end of your four amas, you've been taken out of that tchum. Now you have another four amas. So basically, wherever you go, you're always going to have an endless amount of space that you can walk. Ha! That's the explanation. Okay. So now ask the Gemara, all right, if that's the explanation, what's the difference between these two pshatim? Well, there's a lot of differences. For instance, suppose something happens to the mechitzas of the boat, and they get broken off on Shabbos, okay? So then according to Rabbah, the only reason you were allowed to walk there is because you have mechitzas. If you no longer have mechitzas, so then it doesn't help that the mechitzas were there before Shabbos, so you wouldn't be allowed to walk. Bashenken, according to Rabbi Zera, you're being given a new tchum every minute, so you can continue to walk. That's one difference. I'll give you another difference. Suppose you want to jump off of one boat and get on another boat, right? So now, according to Rabbah, wait a minute, the second boat has different mechitzas. You weren't shoveis in those mechitzas. According to Rabbi Zera, the second boat is also moving. So you're also being given the new tchum at all time. So why doesn't Rabbi Zera like Rava's pshat? I mean, it's so obvious that if you were shoveis in the mechitzas before Shabbos, you can't put the three cases together. Dir v'sahar is one issue, like Rabbi Akiva explained it. We don't give you a tchum of arba amos if you just happen to arrive there on Shabbos, but the boat you got onto before Shabbos. So isn't that very reasonable? Why don't you want to say that? Says Rabbi Zera, for a very simple reason. A boat does not have mechitzas. What do you mean it doesn't have mechitzas? Look at the whole side of the boat. Yeah, why are those mechitzas there? They're there to keep the water out, not to keep you in. So in that case, you can't view this as being mechitzas the way normal mechitzas are there. This is a boat. And therefore, by definition, the point of the mechitzas is a completely different idea than surrounding the person by the mechitzas. They are the definition of a boat that doesn't allow water in and that is able to float on water. So there are no mechitzas. Don't give me this stuff. So then it can't be the reason. The reason has got to be because of my ingenious idea that you're always moving and always getting new mechitzas. Okay, that is a pretty ingenious idea. So why doesn't Rabbah like the idea of always getting a new tchum? Why does he focus on the mechitzas? My time with Amak Rabbi Zera says, Rabbah, because Rabbi Zera is only talking about a moving boat. Who said we're talking about a moving boat? If we were talking about a moving boat, there wouldn't have been a machlokas here for the first place. Smooth? What kind of machlokas is there in a moving boat? What, you really think that they would argue if the boat is moving? Of course not. The only machlokas is when the boat wasn't moving. And I'll prove it to you, too. But if the boat was moving, Rabbi Akiva also held it was mutter. And Kuli Amalo Pligi, they're only arguing when the boat was standing. And therefore, it was built on the understanding that we had before in Rabbi Akiva. You only get mechitzas when you were shavis then before Shabbos, but not if you're shavis in them on Shabbos. That is the point. Says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he's right. He's right. Look in the Mishnah. You could tell that that's true. Because it can't be that Rabbi Akiva was arguing if the boat was moving. Read the Mishnah carefully. We had this problem when we read the Mishnah originally. We said we're going to get to it. Read the Mishnah carefully and you'll see. What was the story in the Mishnah? Story was they were coming from this town and they got on the boat and the boat takes off. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they walked across the whole boat, had a good time, all Shabbos, and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva didn't move out of the four amas, and here's the crucial words, because they wanted to be machmer on themselves. What do you mean they wanted to be machmer on themselves? It's not because they wanted to be machmer on themselves, it's because they held that's not halacha. You never say that, Lashon, if that's not the case, right? So why does it say because they wanted to be machmer on themselves? I'll tell you why. Because the boat, when it took off, was moving. And they held also. Oh, if it's moving, there's no problem. Absolutely, Rebbe Gamliel is right. In that case, of course I'm allowed to carry. But what happens if the boat suddenly stops moving? And the wind dies down, and we don't notice. And then we keep cutting across and walking across the boat, huh? What happens then? So therefore, we want to be machmer on ourselves so we don't get caught short in case the boat stops and we won't realize that we're carrying chutz l'tchum. But apparently the case as given, a moving boat, there was no problem. See, you're going to tell me they all agree if it's moving. That's why it says, Rutsu, they want to be machmir, because maybe, Dilma Omda, maybe the boat will stop. But if you're telling me that they're arguing even in the case where the boat is moving, which is the way Rabbi Zera has it, so then why does it say they wanted to be machmir? Isuru, they should have just said, it's Usur, what do you mean machmir? This is the Iker Adin. Om Ravashi, there's another proof to that, simply the way that it's written. Look, the way it's presented in the Mishnah, is that it gives the case of the boat right after the case of the deer and the sahar, right? Now, I mean, according to the way you're understanding it, that the issue would be a moving boat constantly gives you a new tchum, it has absolutely nothing in common with deer and sahar. So why in the world are we talking about that? So it must be, therefore, that we're talking about a similar case, a deer vasar that are kavua and a boat that's kavua. And now we're talking about the din of the boat and the deer vasar. Omale Ravacha Breda Ravala Ravashi. Actually, the halacha is Hilchata Kerabba Gamliel Bisvina, is the way that it was quoted, Rav and Shmuel. And you could be medayik that apparently somebody argues on the Svina. So Hilchata Besvina means that there's a machlokas. And where exactly is there a machlokas? In the Mishnah, it only says Ratzu l'achmir al atzman. It doesn't say that they held it was usser. It says they wanted to be machmir. But if somebody else would ask them, they would have said, no, he's right, you're really allowed to. We're just being machmir on ourselves. So why are you paskening like them if nobody argues? Says Hananya ben Achi Reb Yeshua, oh, yes, they actually do argue. Kol oto ayom, what do you think they spent the whole day doing in that boat? I'll tell you what they did. They were arguing about what the din is of boats the whole day. That's what they did. So kol oto ayom yashvu v'danu b'dvar halacha, what the halacha is of yotzichu t'tchum. Finally, emesh, at night, they ended up being machria, my father, my uncle, he's ben Achi Reb Yeshua, meaning Reb Yeshua, ended up asking Aloha Grabbi Gamliel Bisvina and Aloha Rabbi Akiva Bedir Visahar. So you are allowed to be Metal to Bakula on a Svina, but you're not allowed to, apparently Rabbi Akiva is Chalik, even on the Inyan of Svina. And that's the way I was Makabalit. Whew! Okie dokie! Wonderful. So we took care of a little bit of our tiny stuff. Also tomorrow, I wanted to ask you if you want to get together a little bit for the Inyanim of Tzom Gedalia, whether we should do that after the Daf Yomi, or whether we should be koveya a time with a special, a special link for the Daf Yomi. So, who thinks we should just continue going on after the Daf Yomi for the few minutes to be mashlim the period of the Daf Yomi? Give me a thumbs up if you want to do it that way. No, listen, Moshe. Dyslexia is for words, not confusing thumbs up with thumbs down. Okay, so who wants to be koveya a separate time? I guess nobody wants it at all. Okay, so... yeah, but nobody's giving me any signs, so it seems that nobody's interested. All right, okay, fine. It's only Richie who refuses to acknowledge that it would be nice to have something together over here, huh? What do you say, Rich? Which one is the no? You don't want to have anything? You want the first one? Yeah, you're mute. He's muted. He's muted. First one. I understand. I understand. Okay. So I still, let me just get, please, one last time. People who do want it to be the Hashlom of the Daf Yomi, besides Richie, give me a thumbs up, please, if you're interested. Okay. We got five. You know what? I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's see how quickly we can finish the Daf tomorrow, because it's a very cute Daf. And of course, because it's the Daf of the Tainis, and we know what we're expecting immediately after Rosh Hashanah, it's all about Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach. And so, you know, assuming that he hasn't come yet by the time of the Daf, we may be too busy, as the Daf says, to even have a chance to meet. But in the event that we're looking for an afternoon arrival of Eliyahu HaNavi, so then we could have time in the morning. So let's see. We may be able to finish very quickly and then do everything in the morning. If not, we'll be kovea. We'll handle it. We'll take it as it comes.